When someone asks us, tell me a little bit about yourself, what is it that we say? Does it depend on who's asking the question? Whether it's the person sitting in 2A on the airplane when we just happen to be assigned to 2B, or whether it's the person we meet in the grocery store whose wife is best friends with our first cousin. You know, they're like family. How do we answer that question? What is it that we include in our story? And what do we exclude? What is it that we highlight? And what is it that we feel the need to explain? Do we feel the need to mention that we were the egg toss champion in elementary school 3 years in a row? Or are we compelled to say we had a perfect attendance record in Sunday school until that episode of flu in the eighth grade? What is it that we say when we tell our story? For each of us has a story to tell. And so does the church. The church's story is born out of why we have the church in the first place. As Eugene Peterson says, every soul is of eternal value and needs to live with a few other souls to grow in grace and charity. That we are here because we need one another. And anytime you get all those souls in one place, there are bound to be some stories to tell. Whenever we tell the church's story, we, of course, turn to the story of Jesus, that story that shapes and guides our story as the body of Christ. Like in the Gospel of Matthew, where it says, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees." That we are to be salt. We are to be light. And our righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. That we are to live out the letter of the law. Capital L, which I know sounds awfully strange because we are a product of the Reformation and the law was discarded a long time ago. And not only that, we know all of those other conversations that Jesus has about the laws with the scribes and the Pharisees, criticizing them for elevating the rules over the value of people. But the Gospel of Matthew here speaks of the law in a different way. That the law, capital L, is that gift from God to the people that signifies that covenant, that commitment between God and the people of God. So whenever we read, "Your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees," it simply means we are to live out of that commitment of what it means to be the people of God. So we are to be salt and light and a letter, as Paul says. Show that you are a letter of Christ. But when we think about the church's story, there are some other words that we also consider. There is that mission statement of the church down there at the bottom of the front page of each newsletter in very tiny font. You know what I'm talking about, where it says, believing the Spirit of God is alive in each one of us and in this world. We affirm that the mission of Auburn First Baptist is to glorify God as creator, sustainer, and redeemer of life. To call all people to God through Christ as Savior and Lord, and to enable all people to be more like Jesus. They are strong words. And they make us think of three other words that we might list alongside salt, light, and letter. That when I read that statement, it makes me think of three other words. Of beauty, of calling, and of grace. Our mission is to glorify God as creator, sustainer, and redeemer of life, which we might capture in that one word, beauty. Because there are all of those breathtaking, beautiful moments, like when we stand together in worship to sing the Lord's Prayer. Or when our youth greet the clients at the community market each and every month, that there is glory in those moments. And whenever there is glory, there is always beauty. And we find beauty all throughout the Gospels in the healing, forgiveness, justice, and compassion of Jesus. In all of those second chances, and in all of that beautiful mercy. Like when Jesus stood next to the woman accused of adultery, and he turned to that enraged crowd, that ugly scene, and he said, "Those who have not sinned, throw the first stone." And little by little, each one of them turned around and walked away. And if we were there and stood back at a distance, watching them walk away, it was a scene of such beauty because it was full of the goodness of Christ. And we have had similar moments full of the goodness of Christ here in this place. Those thin moments where we brush up against the presence of God here in this place. And we think to ourselves, I hope this lasts forever. And in some ways it does, because we never forget it. It is like those moments when the lay worship leader stands in this place on the last Sunday of every month, and they look out upon us and they tell us, while this place is significant to him or her, I don't know about you, but from what I have heard, those are some of the greatest sermons that have been proclaimed in this room. And hopefully outside of this room as well, And the word for those moments is beauty. For God's sake. Our mission is also to call all people to God through Christ as Savior and Lord. And the word for that is calling. Will Campbell, that preacher without a steeple, who was such an instrumental leader in the civil rights movement and a prophet in many ways, God rest his soul, sat down one afternoon and took a bottle of Elmer's glue and took his ordination certificate and he pasted it on top of his well-earned degree from Yale Divinity School. He worked furiously and tirelessly for years earning that degree. As opposed to his ordination certificate, which was signed by a country preacher in Mississippi, his father, his uncle, and his cousin. That was his ordination council. But for him, he said, it was a matter of priorities. Because at the heart of his faith was always this sense of calling, which, of course, we all share. That at baptism, we share in that ordination, that calling to be salt and light and a letter of Christ for others. And we find that calling here in this place in so many ways. From the ministry of loaves and fishes, feeding people every week, to that partnership of missions in Brazil, to the partnership with Sowing Seeds of Hope, working through Alabama CBF in rural impoverished counties in Alabama, to working with Christian Women's Job Corps, creating new horizons in people's lives, to the work of Baptist World Alliance, that partnership of Baptists in every continent, in every nation, working around the globe, and in the jail ministry each month, giving people dignity and respect, but also right here, in quiet, ordinary ways, with people gather around our children to teach them, cultivating their faith, surrounding them with a love that is reminiscent of the love of God, or walking alongside our youth, those fine young people, fostering maturity in their faith and sending them out in their lives with hopeful joy, or in all of those relationships that span the generations between child and college student and seasoned adults. And of course, no less in how the church cares for one another. And as we think creatively about ministry together, as we lean into the years to come, that we find that calling in this place because we find ourselves doing things that we never imagined doing. In the name of Christ, whether it's teaching children Sunday school or swinging a hammer on Saturday, building a wheelchair ramp with the Brotherhood, or just taking a meal to someone in the church that we know, but that we don't know very well, at least not yet. And the word for that is calling. And our mission is also to enable all people to be more like Jesus. And the word for that is grace. It is grace that enables us to live into that calling. And we hold on tightly to that grace that beckoned us to that calling in the first place. Susie Painter, who is the coordinator of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, tells this wonderful story about a student at the McAfee School of Theology in Atlanta who is another partner in ministry with this church. His name is Gary Burke. And as Alan Culpepper, the dean of McAfee, says, Gary is the only student who ever stole a degree from McAfee. Years before seminary, Gary served an 18-month sentence in prison for drug-related offenses. And during that time, he participated in a 40 Days Without Violence program that shaped and changed his life in profound ways. And years after, as he was following this sense of calling in his life, he entered seminary. But during the second semester of classes, his church was unable to pay his tuition. But Gary continued to attend class. And Gary continued to take the exams. And it wasn't until late into that semester, when he was assigned this online project and he was unable to log into his student account because he was no longer formally a student, that he had to go to his professor and say what had happened. Upon hearing this story, McAfee awarded Gary a scholarship. And he now serves the Lakewood community in Atlanta through the Power of Peace Project, working to restore that very fractured community. That it is grace that enables us to live out our calling and to create beauty with our lives. For God's sake. And I don't have to tell you this, but we find such grace in this place in too many ways to describe. Probably first and foremost in the lives of the people around us, that the story of this church is salt and light and letter. It is the story of beauty and calling and grace. It is the story of a few souls gathered together because they need one another. And we tell that story with all that we do and all that we say for the sake of one another and for the sake of others as well. Because any time that we tell the story of Jesus again, we end up experiencing that salt and light and letter all over. So whenever we tell the story of this church, we experience again the beauty and the calling and the grace of this congregation. So, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? Amen.